Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong with Loudwire Nights, and this is Loudwire Nights On Demand. We caught up with Douglas Robinson from the new band Held as we celebrate their debut album, Gray. This interview aired on Tuesday, May 19th. Enjoy. Hanging with us tonight is a guy who is part of a new band that features members of Coheed and Cambria and The Sleeping, and they're celebrating their debut studio album, Gray. Vocalist, guitarist Doug Robinson of Held. Man, thank you so much for hanging tonight.
Dude, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you taking the time. It's exciting to have all this excitement going on for the band and whatnot. So anyone who's like trying to link with us, it really means a lot. So thank you so much. Yeah, hell, stoked to be on.
Hell yes, man. And yeah, it is exciting. And this is our first time chatting, just in general, but also obviously the first time talking about this new band Held.
Yeah.
And you're joined by Sal Mignano, who you're in The Sleeping with, along with Josh from Coheed and Cambria. How did this band take shape?
So, long story short, right? We've all been in the same circle for many years, myself and Sal. Being from The Sleeping, we've made four of five of The Sleeping records with a producer duo named Mike Birnbaum and Chris Bittner from Applehead Recording in Woodstock.
Yeah.
And that is also where Coheed grew up. Josh's dad basically, Josh and his dad basically helped build that entire studio. Many of the Coheed records were made there. So just kind of by proxy, we were always just like intertwined with one another. Josh's dad actually plays lap steel guitar on our first record. Awesome. His dad was like, set up our guitars on that first record, and we were just hanging out with him, and he was just so cool that we just like had him play on the record. So we've been in the same circle for a really long time. Then we reconnected years later when Josh was playing drums for Fred's band Terrible Things. And we basically just like hung out on that whole tour. Like Josh pretty much rolled, Josh pretty much like rolled with us in our van pretty much the entire time. And, Josh says this a lot, and it's so true. Like, if you come from that Applehead Woodstock world, you speak a very unique language that a lot of people don't get to speak. And when you have that sort of DNA, like kind of when that stuff is like ingrained in your DNA, you form a bond with people. Even if you don't really know them, you form a bond with them because of the experience you share at Applehead. And we've just always had that with Josh particularly, and when we decided to do this band, Sal and I, it was really Sal's idea to start the band. He had called me and he was just like, yo, we should do something different. We should just like try to do something different. And we started thinking about guitar players. Our friend Thomas Fall of Troy was like on our short list. We were like, oh, what if like Thomas played? And it just kind of fell through. So eventually I was like, you know what? I'm like, I'll just play. I haven't played guitar in forever. I hated playing guitar for a long time. I really did. I would play every day in my room. I'd pick up a guitar for maybe 5 minutes and I would be like, I suck. I never want to play again. And I would put it away. Next day I would do the same thing for years. And something just compelled me to be like, you know what? I'll do it. And, I started playing and we started really like coming up with ideas. I was writing a bunch and I started realizing like I love playing guitar. And once we started getting more ideas together as a band, I was like, okay, I need to really step up if I'm going to do this with these guys. And basically it just blossomed into like all of us working our ass off, me locking myself in my bedroom and just writing and writing and trying to be what I needed to be in this band, to match Josh and Sal's like amazing musicianship. And, it formulated, but, when we started thinking about drummers, we just instantly thought of Josh.
Yeah.
And Mike and Chris helped make the connection. And now here we are.
I love that, man. And yeah, it's interesting. You think about, forming The Sleeping in 2003 with Sal, and you released the debut album, Believe What We Tell You, in 2004. And you've been doing this for a minute, man, but clearly like pushing yourself in a new way, if for no other reason than picking up the guitar and kind of committing to that. But I love that, like this far into your career to still like to be like exploring new ground, right? And pushing yourself in new ways.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, I'm always going to make music, right? And I think that's also why we gel so well, myself, Josh, and Sal, because I mean, we are musicians first and foremost, right? We're not doing this for any other reason other than like, it's all we love. It's all we know. And, you know, for me, pretty much the only goal I ever step into any recording or any like musical mindset, you know, like my only consistent goal ever is to outdo myself with anything I do, right? It's not like, it's not the sole reason I make music, but when I'm driven to make something and create something, it has to be better than anything I've ever done for myself. You know, like I can't let anything feel like a safe bet. You know, and I think that's sort of where that, you know, animalistic like moment of just saying I'll play guitar like popped, you know, came from. You know, it was just like, you know what, let me do this, let me figure this out. And I think this is probably the most precious thing I've ever done, because it is like completely new on a level of just everything needed to be the best it could be, you know? And I think Josh and Sal feel that way individually as well and as a unit, because, you know, I think everybody really wanted to outshine anything we've ever done, because one, it's exciting and it's new, but, you know, Coheed, you know, they've been killing it on top for years and years. Like, this is a fun challenge for Josh, and this is a challenge for Sal and myself. And, you know, I think it really shows on the record that like we basically went in this with like nothing to lose, but like everything to lose, because like it was just sort of like there were no expectations other than just like we just want to make something like doper than anything we've ever made, you know?
Well, so, you know, when you guys started jamming together and you picked up the guitar, like how quickly did it feel like you guys felt like, oh man, we're onto something here. Like there is something clicking.
Yeah. That's a good question, because I mean, we felt really good in the first moment we wrote together. We did three songs that would be on the record. We did them initially with Mike and Chris before we switched producers, just due to like time and finding John, who became the right fit for us. But honestly, I think the first time it really made sense was hearing back the three songs that got us signed to Monarch Heavy with John. We got those songs back. Those were really, you know, they're on the record. They're really special songs for that reason. But I remember hearing those going like, okay, back into my bedroom. I want to be better at guitar than these three songs.
Yeah.
And I think that was the moment for all of us and myself, you know, like going like, oh, this is definitely something that can be more than what we just like thought, like, no, again, no expectation, but this is special. Something happening here is like actually different than just getting in a band, being in a band together, making a record. Like, you know, there's making a record and then there's like something special happening, right? And I think this was something like really, really special. And for it to happen on a new project, and, you know, like it just felt right. And those three songs definitely were the catalyst of like, oh, something is going on here, you know?
Man, I love hearing that. And so, you know, like saying all that now, you know, something special, and, you know, I'm just curious, like, how far ahead are you looking? You know, I mean, you know, the album, your first album, you've got one live show on the calendar. I'm guessing more will be coming. But like, how far ahead are you looking or hoping for this band?
It's funny you say this, because I have been working with my therapist to try to slow down a little bit, because I like constantly think about the future. Like if this was a normal moment between you and I, like in my brain, like a normal me moment, I would probably be thinking about like the second tour. We haven't even gone on tour yet, right? Like I would be like, oh my God, like I want to go on tour with this person. Like that's what I would be thinking about. And it's not for lack of paying attention. It's just my brain just doesn't stop. And it creates a lot of really bad moments for me. And like, you know, we don't have to go there, but let's just say that, you know, we all have something we're struggling with, right? Yeah, and life isn't really that easy. But I'm learning to slow things down. But I think about the future of this band all the time. And now I'm finding ways to do it where it feels more appreciative than stress of needing to make it happen. But I'm ready to go home. I mean, I'm in LA right now, and I'm I've hit so many moments here already for the time I've been here that have just inspired me to like get home and start writing for the second record. You know, even if Josh and Sal, I don't send it to them yet or whatever, like I want to go home and write like 50 riffs right now, you know, and I will, yeah, I you know, that. When I get home. So, you know, the record's not even out yet. There's a really great buzz about it. People seem really excited about it. People who have heard it are saying really beautiful things about it. And for me, I appreciate all that. But like the minute this record was done, I'm like, man, record two, I'm going to there's no such thing as sophomore slump for me. Like that shit's going to be better than record one by like fucking eons, you know? And I'm so proud of this record, you know, like this is one of the first records of the, you know, between the bands I've been in, I've made about like 10 or 11 records. And this is the first record of everything I'm proud of, but this is the first record that I listened to. And not one moment I feel like it was a regret decision, right? Like, oh, I wish we did this differently. Like everything on this record is exactly what I wanted it to be, exactly what we wanted it to be. And, you know, normally by this point of all the mixing, you know, the mixes I've listened to, all of the times I've listened to it out of excitement, showing people, something would have popped up. And so far, still nothing has popped up that's making me go, fuck, I wish we did this differently. And that's such a crazy notion to me and such a crazy, what feels like an accomplishment, you know?
Sure. Yeah. No, I love all that, man. And yeah, you think about like, you know, always wanting to look ahead. Like, yeah, that probably comes with also always maybe critiquing yourself and that kind of thing. And so to have that feeling with his music, like that's so incredible. And yeah, dude, I totally understand the desire to, you know, well, what's next, what's coming after what's next. And that it's a fine line, right? Cause you can be nostalgic and think about all those albums you were part of and all those tours and everything and fall into that. Or you can, you know, do what you're working on and, you know, not pushing yourself so hard where you're constantly thinking about 10 steps in the future. And that middle ground of being in the moment and being appreciative and finding that, like that is such a hard but beautiful space once you're there.
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny. Like it's really only been this past like week and a half. I'm starting to feel those moments of being in the moment and like being appreciative. But it's making the times I am thinking about the future more like, I don't know, more positively, right? Like I'm not stressing, I'm more driven. And for a long time, I think about everything, the future in every moment so much that it becomes like unenjoyable. It's like very stressful. Sure. And now because I'm, you know, it's a new thing I'm working on really trying to do this, but I'm finding out that when I do have those moments, I'm thinking about the next step for us. It's more out of excitement and not stress, right? Like, because I'm excited, but I stress, like you said, critiquing, right? Like I'm self-critiquing. And I'm like, how do we make this the biggest thing it can be? How do we make it the best thing it can be where it becomes a pressure? And now it's just more of an excitement because I'm being appreciative in the moment of like where I'm at in my life, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I could cave tomorrow and like not leave my bed for like months at a time. But I think so far I'm feeling really good about it. So.
Right on, man. Well, and it, you know, not to get too whatever, it helps to talk about it, you know, and be open and transparent about it. And that, you know, I think listeners and fans, you know, connect with that in their own way, whether it's something specific they're dealing with or something else.
Totally.
You know, I'm curious, and you talked a bit about Applehead Studios and Woodstock, and, you know, I've spent a little bit of time in Woodstock, such a beautiful place. And I've actually had the fortune to be at Applehead before, I watched Rich Robinson from the Black Crows recorded a live album.
Yeah.
And I was there watching him and got to sit in the studio and all that. I mean, that is a magical studio. And you even said like people connected to it kind of speak a different language. Like just take us into that, man. Like what is that? What makes that place so special?
It's like really something you can't necessarily put into words.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to by any means come across like poetic in any way, but like it's really such a unique experience. They are like one of the last old school kind of mentality studios that I know of, you know, like they come from a different world than what we're used to being in. But somehow, because of our personalities, it worked so well. Right. You know, they're if you listen to Coheed and you listen to Sleeping, there is this like tethered kind of like unbeknownst like thread, right? Like, you know, Coheed are amazing. I love what the Sleeping does, but I'm not at all trying to compare sonically by any means. I'm more saying like you can feel this like earth that is where we come from. Even if you don't know it, if you listen to that after like hearing me speak about it or whatever, whoever goes back and listens to these things, if you listen to the records that Mike and Chris did for the Sleeping and Coheed, there is this sonic home, you know, yeah, like that we kind of both live in. And, you know, not many people can like really grasp what that is. Especially nowadays where more studios are just so modernized that it's like it can just kind of just churn out. You know, sticking with someone like John for this record was really important to us because John also comes from a school of real, but he's good at being modern. But, you know, going back to that, you know, there's just this unspoken language when it comes to Applehead Woodstock. And you've been there, so you can kind of maybe feel what I'm articulating. Yeah. Like you walk in, the studio is beautiful. It's on a, like basically a compound, right? Like we used to live in the back. I'll give you like a funny story. We used to live in the back house. And on the first couple records, we would like sleep there. And we only ever recorded at Applehead in the winter. Besides the Big Deep, which that record was recorded in the summer, the first time we ever recorded in Applehead in the summer. And it was such a different experience. But the Big Deep is actually named after a swimming hole in Woodstock called Big Deep. But anyway, yeah. So I remember the first record, we were recording a session. We stayed, you know, till super late because we would always at the end, we'd always just like listen to a bunch of records that make all of us like enjoy life and music, right? Mike and Chris would put on stuff that influenced them, or they'd be like, oh, you never heard this groove, whatever. And I remember, you know, one night after like a few drinks, I was walking back to the studio in the snow. And I just remember looking down at my feet, going over this little, like, it's not even a bridge, but it goes over this little tiny stream that opens up to a giant stream behind, you know, behind the house. But in the front, there's this like little tiny stream that you walk over. And I just remember like seeing the breath leaving my mouth and being like, holy shit, man, like I'm making a real record. You know, this is something I will never forget. And, you know, there are moments I'm sure that people experience similar to what I'm saying in the studio setting they're in. But when you look around and you're in the cold of Woodstock in the middle of the night and you just hear the sound of your footsteps on the front, you know, the crunching of the snow and the gravel, like walking. And then you go into this back house, which eventually becomes like a school where kids learn about goats. Like there's just something that you really can't put into words with that, you know?
I love that, man. And I love the fact that, yeah, you know, this long into you making music and being part of this, you know, various scenes and releasing records and touring, like that you still have those moments, right? And you had that moment initially at Applehead Studios in Woodstock, and you had that moment now with this new album, Gray.
Absolutely, man. Dude. I mean, the moments on this are even more special because, you know, like there is something to be said about being more self-aware, right? Obviously, and that kind of sounds like a duh, but like I'm 42 years old. I'm happily married. You know, I have a dog and a cat that are my children. And, you know, there is something beautiful about being so, you know, having so much anxiety leaving them for times to go record or go travel or whatever the case for music. And then when you're in it, you realize how important it is to savor the moment because you're not only doing it now for yourself, you're doing it for others in your circle, right? I would be lying if I said I didn't want music to be my forever thing, you know, like it is, but you know, to keep that going and be able to like take care of my family forever based off of music, right? I've made a great career for myself through music, but to keep that going in a comfortable fashion, right? Like you're doing it like in a almost in a crusade like way as you get older, right? It's like you're leaving home to like fight the fight, right? And those moments become very special when you're at the studio, you're working on a record, you're older, you're not like partying every second. You're like in the moment in a way where you're focused on the songs, you're focused on your members playing as amazing as they are. You're looking at the producer like John and you're like watching how talented he is. And, you know, I'm just looking around and I'm listening back to these moments. I'm going, oh man, this is gonna be something. And as I'm doing that, I'm like, man, like, I get to do this, you know. I don't ever consider it luck, because if you saw how hard we work, you know, it's not luck. And have I taken moments for granted growing up being a musician? Of course. But at the end of the day, this is everything to me. And to be self-aware and focus slowly on those moments, like stop and really focus on those moments, like there is something really incredible about that. You know what I mean?
Amen, man. Well, I love that. And I know we're just getting started, but man, I just got to thank you so much for hanging tonight. Douglas Robinson celebrating this new band Held, this debut record Gray, and everything that's on the horizon. Listeners, get everything you need at heldsounds.com. We'll keep you posted right here too. But man, like I said, I know this is just the start. So hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yeah, dude, thank you for having me too. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate that Metallica pinball machine in the back too.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights on Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.